Welcome to Hope for Today, a weekly Bible teaching program that will bring you hope for every day. Today, our story builds on what was taught the last two times. Last time, we looked at Jesus' revolutionary teaching that what comes from the inside is what defiles a person, not what is on the outside or what goes in. Before that, it was the Pharisees accusing the disciples of eating with unclean hands. Today, we look at the desperate mother who knew Jesus could heal her daughter. However, she was a Gentile, and to the Jews, she was unclean. This is the third account in Mark 7 where Jesus takes on the Jewish idea of uncleanness. Should Jesus heal her daughter? Why is his response so unique? Did he actually call her a dog? These are good questions, and J. Mark will speak into most of them. However, it is important to keep the larger context of Mark 7 in mind, remembering how Jesus was challenging the Jewish idea of clean and unclean. Turn to Mark 7 and follow along as we look at this incredible mother and her amazing faith.
Thomas Edison was an inventor. He invented things like the incandescent light bulb, sound recording, and much, much more. It is said that he was more responsible than anyone else for creating the modern world. He was the most influential figure of the last 500 years. Edison's early life wouldn't have suggested that kind of brilliance, because at 7 years of age, Tom's teacher sent a note home to his mother that read, and I'm quoting, "Your child is as dense as a stump and virtually unteachable," end quote. In response to that, his mother, who was a devout Christian, began teaching him at home. She believed he showed above-average intelligence, and she had faith in God and in her child. And as we say, the rest is history. You know, the scriptures provide examples of motherhood that are relevant and beneficial for us today. Mark chapter 7 and verses 24 to 30 yields valuable insights directly related to our discussion. I encourage you to listen attentively as I read this passage, Mark 7, 24 to 30, and then I will have my teaching on a mother's faith. From there, Jesus arose and went to the region of Tyre and Sidon, and he entered a house and wanted no one to know it, but he could not be hidden. For a woman, whose young daughter had an unclean spirit, heard about him, and she came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by birth, and she kept asking him to cast the demon out of her daughter. But Jesus said to her, "Let the children be filled first, for it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." And she answered and said to him, "Yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs under the table eat from the children's crumbs." Then Jesus said to her, "For this saying, go your way. The demon has gone out of your daughter." And when she had come to her house, she found the demon gone out and her daughter lying on the bed. So this chapter begins with the Pharisees accusing Jesus' disciples of breaking the elders' tradition because they were eating without washing their hands. So immediately after this teaching on uncleanness, he leaves the Jewish area and he goes to Tyre and Sidon. And here comes this Gentile woman from Canaan. Now, according to the disciples, she is unclean simply because of her ethnicity. She was a Gentile, plus she was a Canaanite, a people who were historically enemies of the Israelites. And Jesus uses her need as an object lesson. The disciples needed to understand that uncleanness was not a matter of nationality any more than it was a matter of eating without ceremonially washing your hands. So let's keep that context in mind as we go through this text. And as we look at it together, let's note three proofs of a mother's faith. The first proof of her faith is her petition. Remember, I said Jesus was in a Gentile area. Tyre and Sidon were in the heart of Phoenicia. And yet even in this Gentile territory, the fame of Jesus must have been known. And so this woman, whose daughter was grievously tormented and possessed by a demon, came searching for Jesus. Try to imagine with me the pain in this mother's heart. as she saw her daughter bound by demonic power day after day, and she couldn't do anything about it. She couldn't change it. Now, we don't know how the demon manifested himself, but there are other portions of Scripture that give us an idea of how these persons were tormented. This woman's faith led her to ask Jesus for healing. She must have heard of his power to do that. Otherwise, she would not have risked rejection and humiliation. Her faith drove her to overcome these obstacles and seek help. Her need was great, obviously, but her faith was even more remarkable because it moved her to action. She approached Jesus and she offered her simple petition. Let's look at it. And to clarify this, we'll turn to Matthew's account, because he has some additional details. She says, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed." It's a cry from the depths of her soul. And did you notice? She confessed Jesus as Lord. She addressed him as, "O Lord, Son of David." She cries out for mercy out of her own helplessness. And Mark tells us, as I read in our text, that she fell at Jesus' feet with her request. Now notice, there's no wavering there. Her faith was fixed on Jesus and his ability to heal her daughter. Now you may be a mother who has already prayed that kind of a prayer. This mother's example should be a challenge and an encouragement to you. One proof of her faith was that it motivated her petition. Her unwavering belief, in spite of Jesus' silence, should serve as a model for us. And then the second proof of her faith that I see is her persistence. And this is where her true character shines through. Matthew records that Jesus didn't answer her a word. How would you react to that lack of response? Do you think Jesus was being mean-spirited? That would be totally out of character for him. If you're a mother, do you have a burden for a child of yours? Does God sometimes seem silent? Does heaven seem oblivious to your cries? I think you should take heart from the example of this woman. She didn't give up. Her persistence validated her faith. And the disciples didn't know what to do with her. In fact, they told Jesus, "Send her away." So picture this. Here's this woman with this desperate need, crying out for mercy on the ground in front of Jesus. And he refuses to answer. And the disciples are saying, "Chase her away." And then Jesus speaks. He says that he has been sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So that means, as a Gentile, she doesn't qualify. However, again, we observe her faith and persistence. She comes and worships him. Her confidence in Jesus was the basis of her coming in the first place. And so even after he refuses to help her, she still is convinced that he's able. And she cries out, "Lord, help me." Jesus responds again, "It is not good or proper to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." Now, some people see Jesus' use of the word dogs as the ultimate put-down. If you were a Jew, you were special. Jews referred to the Gentiles as dogs, and the disciples would have known that. However, the English translation dogs in this text refers to small dogs or household pets. For Jesus to take his attention from Israel would be like a father taking food from his children and throwing it to the little dog, their pet, under the table. In other words, it would be improper for him at the time to offer the kingdom of God to the Gentiles. That would come later, after Pentecost. According to Matthew, this woman's request was denied three different times, first by silence, and then by Jesus' exclusive ministry to the Jews, and finally, by a possible racial slur. You know, I marvel at her persistence. She had one focus, and that was to see her daughter restored. So she responds to Jesus' comment in verse 28 by saying, "Yes, Lord, I know what you say is true, but the little dogs do get to eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." You know, I'm impressed with her grasp of truth. Each denial only strengthened her resolve. And so, if you're a mother, I encourage you to follow the example of this woman. Demonstrate the proof of your faith by your persistence. God is listening. He hears, and he will respond in his time. And then the final proof of this mother's faith is God's provision. Look at verse 29. Then he said to her, "For this saying, go your way, the demon has gone out of your daughter." All this mother had hoped for, all she had set out to accomplish when she came to Jesus, was now reality. She endured silence and rejection and insult, and yet she received what she had so tenaciously struggled for. Her faith activated the Lord's provision. Can you imagine her joy, her excitement, her love for Jesus? Hers was a great faith, not faith in herself, but faith in the object of her pursuit. That was Jesus. If she would have had faith only in herself, she would have never come to him in the first place. But she went to him out of desperation, out of helplessness, and with the confidence that what she could not do, Jesus could easily do. And her faith was rewarded. This truth of faith activating provision is repeatedly demonstrated throughout the scriptures. Some people lacked faith and they suffered the consequences. Think about the children of Israel who died in the wilderness because they didn't believe God could deliver them from the giants in the land of Canaan. There were other people who exercised faith and received God's abundant provision. Think about Deborah, who, when the men failed to lead, she stepped out in faith and led Israel to victory. Do you have faith in God? James reminds us that those who petition God must do it in faith without wavering. That was the kind of faith this mother from Canaan had. Her actions demonstrated that her faith was firmly fixed on Jesus, and she was not going to be denied. Maybe you're thinking, well, I don't need faith like this woman. That may be true, but every godly mother recognizes motherhood is an act of faith. On your own, you don't have what it takes to raise godly sons and daughters, and if you think you do, God will bring you into situations that will crush your pride and your self-confidence. It's only by trusting God, by exercising faith in Him, that you will be able to fulfill the task of being a godly mother. And that's the secret of success for this woman from Canaan. So as we close, I have a few questions for you. Mother, where is your faith? Has it motivated you to petition the Lord for His intervention? Or are you struggling to meet the need in your own human effort? Has your faith been demonstrated in your persistence as you continue casting yourself and your need on the Lord, even when He seems silent? Are you worshiping Him from a heart of obedience and trust? Is your faith activating God's provision? Have you experienced all that He wants to give you? No matter what God's provision is, it will honor a mother's faith.
This mother's faith is a challenge for us. She knew Jesus could heal her daughter and would not give up. Through several setbacks, she stuck it out. When you and I are convinced Jesus can, then we also will persist with our requests, just like she did. If we are honest, most of us have experienced a time when God was silent, or when we felt pushed aside by Him. This woman's response to that is a good example for us in those difficult times. Keep praying. Keep persevering. Don't quit. He is the one with the answers. If you have any questions about today's lesson, or if you'd like to contact us, you can contact us by email or online. Our email address is hope@heraldsofhope.org, and our website is heraldsofhope.org. We look forward to hearing from you soon. This woman's response reminded me of Peter's answer when Jesus asked his disciples if they too wanted to leave him. Peter said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." Peter and this mother would not walk away. They knew Jesus was the answer. And may the same be said of you and I.